What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. How you doing, Corey?
Scranton, Electric City.
I'm doing good, Nick. Repping today, obviously. We're like the basketball version of The Office, we wish. But how you doing, Corey?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Can't complain. Ready to talk some hoops. Before we get into that, though, fire trailer dropped today. Avengers Endgame hit us with some major shots. How'd you feel about that?
First off, I think we all were extremely happy to see Tony Stark and Steve Rogers in the same frame. They trust each other. That's all we needed. They trust each other. And then that scene where it looks like it's Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor walking up to Thanos sitting down. Like, you know, I'm April 26th. Is it here yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm already trying to get my tickets. I know there was, like, some major issues with Fandango. And, like, talking about that scene when they shake hands, there's – I mean, we're not going to really dive deep into the trailer, but some people think it's already, like, a time travel thing, and that's really – they CGI'd his suit, and that's old Cap from Avengers 1. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, because I guess if you look at the neckline, the way his suit is worn, it looks like it's his first suit. So don't be surprised if that's CGI, and he's asking Cap from the first time around, hey, do you trust me? So definitely – definitely a lot of fun stuff. Check out Off the Glass the movies. We're gonna probably, we might even do a podcast just on the trailer because it's that crazy. Yeah. And then obviously when the movie drops, we'll dive into that. But we are gonna talk basketball like we always do. Ernie Grunfeld finally fired. I say that, you know, not in a mean way, but it's just the fact that he's been there for 16 years, no 50 win seasons, no Eastern Conference Finals, and a ton of bad contracts. Feels like Wizards fans were celebrating today.
Yeah, when I actually saw the report, I actually, like, looked in, and I follow some Wizard guys, and I was just looking to see, like, you know, what did ownership say, what was the reasoning, and ownership enough fired Grunfeld because they failed to make the playoffs. They failed to qualify for the playoffs, and that was, they failed to meet expectations of making the playoffs, I think was the exact line. And then once again, that's it. He just wanted to make the playoffs. You have all these guys under contract. He just wanted to make the playoffs, which, again, speaks volumes on what this Wizards team has been for the last decade or even more.
And, like, if there's any season where they have an excuse not to make the playoffs, it's the season John Wall is out for the entire year. So it's like, you know, you're arguably your best player, your second best player, whatever it may be. He's out. The guy you signed to play center hasn't even – what? Dwight hasn't even played a game for Washington. So, like, what –
yeah, I mean, I don't know. You're right. I mean, you made the move for Trevor Ariza. Did you think that deadline move was what was going to put you back over the hump? You got Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis. Were those guys supposed to get you back in the playoff hunt? You know, it's baffling that they have those kind of lack of self-awareness in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's obviously a big issue for a lot of NBA players, but I guess a lot of NBA front offices too and ownership. And, like, dude, they've been pretty much out of the playoff picture for most people since, like, 2019 started. You know, no one really expected them to make some comeback and get in there. When they traded Otto Porter, everyone kind of thought that was signal like, hey, we kind of gave up on the season. So that mindset doesn't really make sense. You know, we're not going to really dive into the possible candidates to replace them because we could spend all day. It looks like there's going to be multiple jobs. Maybe we'll tackle that in another podcast. But, you know, diving into some of the other teams, let's start with the Eastern Conference playoff picture. You know, we're going to talk OKC in a little bit, but the Eastern Conference playoff picture is actually pretty good right now. You know, we have Detroit in the sixth seed, Brooklyn in the seventh seed, Miami in the eighth seed, and Orlando in the eighth seed and in the ninth seed. And the only separation is about pretty much two games between them all.
Yeah, I mean, the Eastern Conference playoff hunt, I don't care about the record. Don't look at the record. I know some – I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter saying, like, because I've seen some people say, like, this is a good playoff race. And other people are like, oh, they're losing records. I look, aside from that, there's still teams that are fighting for a playoff spot. You're going to have to see them in April. So just enjoy the fact that these teams are playing do or die games basically on a nightly basis, which means basically for all of these teams, the Hornets as well, the Hornets, because of Jeremy's Lamb half court, he technically are still in this. I mean, they have like a
very slim.
Yeah. Like, they have to win out and a lot of things have to go their way to make the playoffs. But this playoff race has been really entertaining. And as you mentioned, you know, Miami Heat have been better the last couple days. They were down big last night. They had a nice little they made it a nice, decent, close game. You have the Pistons, which, thank you, the Pacers beat, which helps yours, Brooklyn Nets. Pacers keep the home court dream alive. It's fun. I mean, I enjoy seeing playoff races, which look to be almost going up to the last game of the season, which we saw last year with Denver and Minnesota.
Yeah, and I said two games apart. It's actually a game and a half between the sixth seed and the ninth seed. And you mentioned it. You know, people complain about the record. The only teams under 500 are the Heat by one game and Orlando by two games. And a lot of these teams have really picked it up as of late. So it's not like they're playing bad basketball right now. They either had bad starts or just bad stretches where they dealt with injuries. So I'm excited to see what happens. Just to give a quick tackle of the schedule. So we'll start with the Pistons. They have the Pacers. They have OKC, Charlotte, Memphis, and New York. You know, obviously, the Pacers are going to be a tough matchup. OKC, a tough matchup. Charlotte, we're not really sure what they're going to be doing at that point. Memphis and New York tanking. The Nets probably have the toughest matchup out of all of them. They have Toronto, Milwaukee, Indiana, and Miami. Miami has Boston, Minnesota, Toronto, Philadelphia, and Brooklyn, so not an easy matchup for them. Then Orlando has the Knicks, the Hawks, the Celtics, and the Hornets.
Yeah, I mean, something to keep, just to touch on the Pistons first. Blake Griffin has not played in the last two games. He's not expected to play tomorrow either against the Pacers with some sort of knee injury. Nothing has been really said about it, but he's obviously missing games come playoff stretch, right? So this has to be a somewhat significant knee injury, so that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, that's big. And I think right now, if you're looking at the teams who are trying to make the playoffs, I think ideally you just don't want to fall to that eight seed and face Milwaukee, who just seems like they're going to be a powerhouse. You know, Giannis is having an MVP type season, and he's looking to dominate in a playoff series and kind of set the tone for his mark in postseason history. And, you know, anytime you have your best player injured like that, you know, the one positive for the Pistons is Andre Drummond has been so good. But this upcoming game against the Pacers and the next game against OKC is going to be really big because OKC is going to be fighting for seeding as well.
Yeah, and also, I mean, for Detroit at least, you're catching OKC at the right time. I know we plan on talking about OKC in a little bit, but OKC is struggling. I think they're, what, 7-15 in their last, you know, 22 games or so. I know they haven't been very good. Detroit with some injuries. I know Luke Kennard didn't play last night.
Doubtful for the next game.
He's out as well, so there you go. So this could be a good catch for Detroit, catching OKC when they're a little bit banged up. And like you said, you know, finishing with the Knicks, Memphis, those are winnable games. And Charlotte, obviously Charlotte's going to be playing as hard as they can. But it's a decent stretch for Detroit, just unfortunate that Blake Griffin's banged up.
Yeah, I think the thing for the Charlotte matchup to think about is, like, if Charlotte wins their next two games or the other teams lose, they might still be in the race. But at that point, they could already be knocked out. You know, there's a chance they could be already, you know, knocked out of the playoffs and kind of looking to tank and play some of the young guys and maybe just resting Kemba. Then the Nets schedule is brutal. I mean, the one hope I think they have against Toronto maybe tomorrow would be maybe Kawhi rest. They had Milwaukee on Saturday in a back-to-back against the Pacers, who possibly could still be fighting for seeding. The one grace they probably have is that matchup with Miami on the last night of the season could determine if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I know you guys talked a lot about it on the Broken Buzz, you and Jack Manuel. The fact that this was like a little doomsday stretch for the Nets, especially to end the season. I actually kind of want your thoughts on this. How do you feel? Obviously, the Bucks game was really good, actually. That was a close competitive matchup. I liked what I saw from the Brooklyn, obviously. And now with this Raptors, Pacers, what are your expectations? Like, what are your dreams and aspirations?
I mean, I thought yesterday they actually played well for three quarters. The first quarter was terrible. They played an average first quarter. They probably either win that game or have an opportunity to win at the end. I think probably tomorrow against the Raptors is a must-win situation because it's at home. You know, the Raptors aren't necessarily fighting that hard. They have a slim chance at nailing the first seed, and they're pretty much locked into the two seed. So there's a chance they could rest some guys. I know Danny Green got banged up yesterday as well. So I think that game is huge. It's going to be really tough to beat Milwaukee. You know, they just don't match up well against Milwaukee, and they could just still want to kind of finish the season strong. They could also rest a guy or two, or they still rest Middleton and the Nets lost yesterday. I think that Pacers game is going to be tough, especially if the Pacers are still fighting for seeding, which is obviously the concern if they're not. I know the Pacers have had a couple injuries, so they could look to rest a guy or two. We'll see what happens there. I think a lot of it's going to come down to that last matchup with Miami. It's going to be, you know, possibly D-Wade's last game, and it's going to be whoever wins kind of earns a playoff spot.
I think just touching on the Pacers series, you know, if the Pacers lose Friday against the Celtics, maybe they do take, you know, I know Darren Collison's not playing or not expected to play tomorrow. He's been banged up with a groin injury. I know Tyreke Evans is, I think, going to miss the game as well. So you're likely to see maybe if the Celtics win Friday that the Pacers kind of take that Sunday off and rest some guys. That could be a benefit to the Nets too, depending, because if the Pacers lose on Friday, that means the Celtics win the season series. And, you know, depending on how tomorrow's game goes, maybe Boston gets a full two games on the Pacers, but then with three to go, you're not really realistically probably going to get that four seed.
Yeah, so obviously the Nets are almost depending on other teams a little bit too. The one positive is Miami is also playing a really tough schedule as we're going to move on to them. They have Boston. You know, they just lost to Boston, so home and home, you have a chance to win the next game. Minnesota randomly decides to play well. They also face Toronto, who could be resting somebody. Philadelphia could be resting somebody, and then they finish with Brooklyn. So, and I think that if the Heat were to win that game against the Nets, they would own the season series. If the Nets win that game, I believe it'll be tied.
Yeah, I mean, that's a brutal stretch for Miami as well, a team that's, I don't know, banged up. They just don't have a lot of offensive firepower still. I know Goran Dragic has been better, and it's been nice to have him back for just for the offensive versatility he gives. And Deion Waiters has had some nice glimpses. But just based off that schedule, I kind of feel like this is where Miami might actually fall out of the playoff picture. Because I think Orlando at this junction, I think I like them as a playoff team more than Miami.
They definitely have the most favorable schedule. You know, the Knicks obviously aren't trying to win games. Atlanta's hit or miss. You know, they could definitely give them a challenge to try to win the game, but Orlando's going to have more to fight for. And like we just talked about, Boston at that point could be either resting as well if they locked up that seed. And then Charlotte, like we said, is kind of an unknown as well. So there's a lot to really go on, and a lot of it's depending on, you know, who's going to win here, who's going to win there, who's out of the picture, who needs seeding, kind of things like that. Are teams resting or are they not resting?
So I'll ask you this. What three teams of these five do you think get the last three playoff spots?
I think it's going to be Pistons, Nets, and Magic.
Okay.
Jorge does not like that answer, but
Jorge doesn't. I would go with – I almost want to say Detroit misses the playoffs. So if Blake Griffin doesn't play the rest of the season, I don't think Detroit – makes the playoffs. I think he has to come back. So I think that would be like the one asterisk mark. Like, if Blake Griffin doesn't come back, I think Miami, Orlando, and the Nets make the playoffs. If Blake Griffin does come back and he's able to play, you know, the last two or three games, then I think Miami is the odd man out. Because I like Orlando still more.
Yeah, I think the one thing hopefully for the Pistons would be is like, hey, we could probably lose these two games against the Pacers and OKC. We could probably beat Charlotte, Memphis, and New York without Blake Griffin.
Right.
Just because, you know, like I said, they might not even be playing for anything. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. It could be a really exciting last night of the season if the Nets and Heat are facing off and at D Wade's last game, like in determining who makes the playoffs. It's going to be really interesting.
Where is that game? Is it in Miami?
It's in Brooklyn.
It's in Brooklyn? Ooh. Yeah.
So Nets, you know, shout out to the Nets, you know, fan base who's really stepped up of late, two solids in the last two games. You know, they're just getting a lot more activity at games and a lot more hype for the team.
It's important, especially with a lot of these teams that, a lot of teams in the East don't have good road records. So mm-hmm. You have to take care of home court advantage. And if your fans aren't behind you, it does impact you. And that's a big difference, having the fan support. So that's good.
And funny enough, the Heat are probably one of the best teams on the road in the East.
Are they really? That's funny.
20-18, which is better than some of the seeds above them. So, yep. Obviously, the Nets are 22-17 at home and have been better of late. It'll be interesting to see what happens in that. So, we both pretty much agree that it's most likely going to be Detroit, Brooklyn, Orlando.
Question for you. Pacers, Nets, is that at Brooklyn or is that in Indiana?
That is in Indiana.
Damn, unfortunate for you. The Pacers have lost 10 straight road games, to keep in mind, to those listening.
You know, I look at that both ways. I look to the 10 straight losses, but then it's like also a probability like
– yeah, they're due.
They're eventually going to win on the road at some point. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And like I said, I think seeding matters here. The Pistons have the best chance of locking up that sixth seed, but like you mentioned, if Blake's out, somebody could definitely jump up there. I don't know if you necessarily would rather have the sixth seed or the seventh seed, and that's nothing against, you know, Toronto, but I think sometimes, depending on which team it is, might match up better against Toronto than having to face Philadelphia and Joel Embiid and that super big lineup they throw at you.
Yeah, I think that's my one fear with like teams. Anyone who plays Philly and Milwaukee is how do you match up with their length and their bigs? Because both those teams have a lot of size.
It's pretty much impossible. I can tell you from a Nets perspective, I don't want to see Philadelphia or Milwaukee from matchup wise. Not that I think Toronto is bad, as you know, I picked them to make the finals in the Eastern Conference. But I think in terms of matchup, the Nets could actually at least hold their own instead of having to adjust completely. Like last night, if you're going to slow down Giannis, you're going to give up open threes to other guys.
Right. That's exactly how I feel when it comes to like the Pacers. I wouldn't want to see Antetokounmpo and that team with so much wingspan, so many shooters. And same thing with Philly, having Joel Embiid is just a mismatch.
And then they throw out, oh yeah, we got Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons, guys who are big for their position. So it's just like the smallest guy that Philadelphia really throws in their starting lineup is JJ Redick. So it's like, okay, what are we going to really do here?
And he's elusive as hell, so he's just running around the trees.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna set like three hard screens, try to defend, and try to run around them all, and then block a shot and not foul them.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we'll see what happens. It's good for the NBA, I think, when the games matter right up to the end of the season. Like we said, you know, some of the top seeds, it might be locked up by that point, but the rest of them, there's still some activity. How do you feel about the Pacers and the Celtics in terms of that 4-5?
You know, I actually just was on a Pacers podcast, setting the pace. Shout out to those guys, Alex Golden. And all of them. And we actually debated this at the end of the show. I mean, the home court is crucial. As you mentioned, road records, both the Pacers and Celtics both have losing records on the road. They both have winning records at home. So that's right there, a big, big bonus on whoever has it. You know, the Pacers, without Oladipo, you rely on home court a little bit more when you don't have a bona fide superstar on your team. The Celtics still have all that talent, all that depth. They're not missing anyone. They're actually pretty damn healthy at this point in time, getting healthy right at the right time. The Pacers are kind of banged up. So for me, it's who's going to get home court. You know, last Friday watching the game, a big matchup this Friday too, to keep in mind. But last Friday, the Pacers lost by 2 points. And, you know, it was a game where the biggest issues for the Pacers were what kill you when you play good teams. They didn't take care of the basketball enough. They got beat in the fast break. Celtics had 33 fast break points. So for me, the Pacers have to get home court. They have to get home court because, you know, even though they're not going to win all four games at home, don't get me wrong, but that you have a better chance of winning three at home and one on the road than trying to win, you know, 2-3 at home, winning all your home games and having to win two road games or whatever the case may be.
And momentum could be huge in a series like that. You know, obviously Boston's had like somewhat of their struggles of late. They're going to probably be different come playoff time. But if you're able to go up 2-0 or even just win that first game of the series, just gives you a different type of confidence, especially for a team-oriented team like the Pacers.
And as you mentioned, the Celtics too, you know, they look to be a team that can be rattled very easily this year. So, you know, come first-round playoffs, they get punched in the mouth in game one. That team may start to question themselves again because this isn't a team that's very unified yet. And obviously, the fact that we're in April and I'm saying that the Boston Celtics team is not unified is something to be seen. Yeah, I still think it goes 7 games, though.
Definitely question marks, obviously. I mean, Boston is the type of team that has the ability to really turn up and play at a different level that we probably haven't even seen this season just because some of the guys and the experience they have, you know, a Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, and the young guys got a lot of experience last year. So, like we said, the East is pretty exciting down to the wire. A lot of playoff spots still up for grabs. But moving to a team in the West who was really hot, you know, a favorite to probably go to the Western Conference Finals. And last 16 games since the beginning of March, 6-10. You know, offensive rating of 105.1, 28th in the league since the beginning of March. Defensive rating still top 10, but -3 net rating. OKC is not looking good right now. And this isn't a time where you want to look bad.
I'm slightly puzzled by OKC. Obviously, Paul George suffering that shoulder injury last month, it kind of threw a new wrench into things, so to speak, because he kind of took 3 weeks to regain his shooting stroke. He is playing a lot better. Now, Russell Westbrook is shooting efficiently. So the two main guys have been solid, and that's important. Dennis Schroeder was in the Sixth Man of the Year conversation, and he shot his way out of the race. He's been terrible. Steven Adams to me looks hurt. I don't think he'll ever admit it. I don't think you'll ever know he's hurt, but to me, he doesn't look 100%. And then just the role players, you know, they got lucky. Now, I don't want to say they got lucky, but all of these young guys were playing very good defense and hitting their shots. They're still playing okay defense, not great defense like they were in the middle of the year, but now none of these guys can really shoot. And this is a team, as we've mentioned throughout the year, they don't have a lot of shooting. They got to rely on defense. But if you're not scoring enough points and you're relying solely on Westbrook and Paul George, you're going to run into, you know, a wall. And the fact that Dennis Schroeder has been so inefficient, and this team is looking for help from role players. I think the star-wise, they're okay, but there's just not enough help from the supporting guys.
Yeah, and I think that's a concern we had probably going to the season. And then you mentioned some of the role guys stepped up, shooting better from the three-point line. Terrence Ferguson, you know, Grant knocking down a shot, Schroeder. But now when they're struggling, now it's so much on Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams to just play at such a high level. Like you mentioned, the Paul George injury, I think that's definitely still bothering him. It almost would have made sense for them to just rest him for a week and not play him, especially people talking about coming back from shoulder surgery. You know, he just wasn't conditioned to shoot this many shots in a season, especially with the amount of attempts he's taking. And I'd probably say it's probably close to his career high because he's having such a good year. So I'm not feeling good about OKC going to the playoffs. How do you feel about them?
I mean, again, this is going to be a team that for me is going to be matchup, as we kind of mentioned. But I don't feel great. You know, they lost to Denver the other night, as I picked them to upset Denver, as Jack pointed out, Denver did beat them that night and was up late in the fourth. You know, it's really going to be depending on how these role players step up. I mean, I don't hate their chances. I still think in any series, no matter who they play, they're still going to go 6-7 games deep, I think, in the first round, no matter who they play. But the fact
– I think
100%. If it's Golden State, I think it's probably done four, honestly. Unless role players step up, you can't keep up with the Warriors if you only got two offensive weapons. It doesn't work out.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, too, is they dropped so far in the seeding. You know, they went from possibly people talking about, hey, you know, this team could possibly grab a 2 or 3 seed. Now there's a real possibility they're currently in eighth and they could stay there.
Yeah. It's funny because we were talking about them maybe getting as high as the 3 seed at one point this year when Paul George had his MVP caliber stretch. And like you mentioned, now they're in the bottom of the West playoff standings. And I don't know. I think this is going to be a very big test for Billy Donovan, of all people. You know, he had the first season with Durant and Westbrook. Obviously, you know what happened there. They blew that 3-1 lead, and the Warriors ended up blowing their own 3-1 lead. Last year, not getting out of the first round. And then this year, I would be very worried about my job if I'm Billy Donovan if they don't get it out of the first round this season, especially with how this somewhat of a collapse has occurred.
Yeah, I think there's a couple teams I might take them. You know, the only teams I'd probably feel confident with them beating would be, you know, like teams that they're not going to match up against. You know what I mean? Because there's no way they're going to jump up to a top 4 seed. So they're definitely going to be on the road. And they're going to, even against a team like Houston, they could make light work out of them if they're really struggling offensively. As good as you are defensively, you're not going to probably stop Houston from scoring.
No, you're not going to stop Houston from scoring. That's been shown.
Yeah. And it's not like they play at a high pace, but they still put up points. And they just, you know, James Harden has been a problem. And it might even, as bad as it looked for Denver matching up with them, I wouldn't hate if I was Denver now just because I know that I can score and they really can't score right now. So it's something to keep an eye on with this OKC team. Like I said, since the beginning of March, 28th in offensive rating, not what you want. But Corey, I'm going to pass it to you to finish us off with a game.
Right. So we're going to do, I mean, we're kind of segued perfectly into this. We're going to talk about upset probability for teams that are not in the home court tier. So we'll actually start from the West and we'll start right with the Oklahoma City Thunder. What are your upset probability of OKC upsetting the Warriors in the first round?
So, upsetting the Warriors?
You're right. The seed's not set. So, they're probably going to remain a bottom 4 seed. So, what are their upset probability chances? We won't give a matchup.
I could do each one for a matchup. So, if they got Golden State, -1%. Denver, I'll probably go 50%. Because I like think that this would be a benefit for Denver because the team's not as confident. Against Portland, I think they could win. So I'd put them at like 65%. And then Houston, I'd give them like a 20% chance to beat them.
Yeah, that's fair. For me, it'd be 0 Warriors. I think I would give the Nuggets – I had to stick with my hot take. So I would say still 65 for the Nuggets. I'll go 70 with the Blazers. I still like – the defensive versatility for the fact that the Blazers only have 2 guys to really lean on. And then for the Rockets, I'll say like 10%. I just think the Rockets are in a different zone at this point in time.
Yeah, especially with the way their role players are playing at such a higher level.
Yeah. So moving over to the Eastern Conference, right now Miami Heat are the 8 seed, so we'll start with the Heat. Probability.
Probability of beating the Bucks, 0%. Probability of beating the Raptors, 5%.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And I don't think they can get to the sixth seed. And let's say in hypothetical world that they can, I'll give them the same 5%. So that 5% is if the best player gets hurt on Toronto or Philadelphia.
I respect you just giving Jorge some sort of hope that they can win one of those series. For me, it's a straight flat no for whoever they match up with. Next up, the Brooklyn Nets.
So against Milwaukee, I'll give them a 1% chance to upset. Stay true. I gotta give them a little bit of hope, but nothing really. Against the Raptors, I will give them a 25% chance to upset. Ooh. Against Philadelphia, I'll give them also like I guess I'll give them like 10% against Philadelphia because they played them really well this year. Philadelphia can't defend pick and roll against guards very well, and they've done a good job of really frustrating Embiid.
All right.
Like, he's just literally gotten mad. Like, I'm not saying they've stopped him, but he's, like, fouled a lot in these games. He's got technicals in these games. And last game they faced them, if they didn't start off so bad, they might have actually pulled the comeback. They threw Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at Embiid, which is, like, really weird, but it worked.
He's been playing really good over the last month, hasn't he? Rondae Hollis. Or not really. I feel like I've been seeing a lot of praise.
He's played really well when he's played, but the weird thing is he hasn't really played much. So, like, so Kenny's brought him in, and he's sparked it, but right now, his best position is small ball five, and they really only go to it sometimes because Ed Davis is a really good backup center.
Gotcha. Makes sense. For me in the Nets, I would give against the Bucks a 0% chance over your 1% chance. I would give the Raptors maybe a 10% chance. I do think they kind of match up oddly well with the Raptors. Philly, sorry, unless somebody gets hurt, it's probably like a 1% chance. And then obviously no one's – it's Pacers Celtics. There's no point
in that. I think the Raptors thing is like also the confidence with the Raptors and their organization still having some negative vibes. And like you said, the Nets can handle Toronto in a sense. Not that they're going to beat them, but they could push it to six or seven games. That's the series that I think I would want.
And the size difference is not like a, you know, like they have Marc Gasol on the Ibaka, but like Marc Gasol on the back half of his career, he's not as fast. It's not like you're worried about him out there necessarily. Ibaka's been really good, but you know, those are a bunch of old heads in a lot of ways compared to a lot of young guys who just, I think, move better on the court in a lot of ways at times.
Yeah, exactly. If you got a Bach out there playing small ball five, it gives you a lot of versatility because you can throw different lineups out there. I mean, obviously, you're concerned with Kawhi Leonard, but, yeah. You know, D'Angelo Russell's actually played really well against Toronto this season. So something to keep an eye on. And also, Jared Allen's felt good going against Marc Gasol. I think he's getting bullied on the defensive end, but offensively, he's so quick that Gasol really can't keep up with him.
Right. Next up, Detroit Pistons.
Detroit's an interesting team because we talked about length and size being an issue for, you know, the Nets and the Heat, where Detroit has that size and that length. Against against Milwaukee, I don't think they'll drop down to the eighth seed, but I'd give them maybe like a 0% chance. Against Toronto, I'd give them, let's go with 10%. And then against Philadelphia, I think maybe boost that up to like 20% just because Andre Drummond, I know obviously the Embiid and Drummond matchup has been a thing, but at least he has somewhat the size to kind of battle with Embiid, and Blake Griffin can match up with Tobias Harris.
Yeah. For the Bucks, I'll actually give them a 10% chance for the Bucks. 5% chance.
You're being really nice for someone who hates the Pistons.
Easy. Yeah. 5% chance for the Bucks. I'll give him a 10% chance against the Raptors and a 10% chance against the Sixers. The one thing, because it's funny, I actually watched last night, like Wayne Ellington was a fantastic addition to the Pistons.
He probably played their season.
He really did. They needed someone who could shoot the ball and score, and they got him in Wayne Ellington. It also helped that Reggie Jackson has been very good since the All-Star break. I'm not saying he's fantastic. He's not the Reggie Jackson that we once saw in OKC or when he first got to Detroit, but he's shooting efficiently. He's not making dumb turnovers, which has been good for them. But again, you know, it's all bearing on how healthy Blake Griffin can get. And Andre Drummond, you know, he's a 16-16 guy. I mean, that's ridiculous. And a little bit more aggressive on the defensive end of the ball. So I do like what Detroit has going at this point in time, but it's still Detroit. I hate that.
I think if Miami missed the playoffs, they can yell at themselves because they got rid of Wayne Ellington and he's pretty much gave Detroit a playoff spot. Yeah. Not to say he's been the main reason, but having that, you know, player that can stretch the floor a little bit was a huge adjustment, and they let him go pretty much for free.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you probably would have wanted to get rid of Dwayne Wade and keep Wayne Ellington, but you know, we'll have the one last dance.
I mean, or you trade him to a Western Conference team that actually was going to keep him because they traded him, I believe, to Phoenix and then he was cut. You know, trade him to somewhere and, you know, let him stay there instead of going to one of the, you know, he could have easily went to one of the other teams in the East too. Like, let's say he signed with Orlando or something. Like, you that was a is a bad move. You know, a lot of people aren't going to talk about it because it's Pat Riley and, you know, he makes so many good moves, but that was a bad move.
No, the getting rid of Tyler Johnson move, I think, kind of balances out this bad move because Tyler Johnson hasn't been anything spectacular in Phoenix, and you got rid of that money.
But
But
they
as you
took
mentioned,
Ryan Anderson's money, so it's like,
true. So it's a flip.
yeah,
A
I
little
think they
bit.
did save a little bit of money
Right.
because Ryan Anderson's contract isn't as guaranteed as Tyler Johnson's, but still, like, I think you kind of want to make the playoffs, especially. I mean, I don't even know what the Heat really want. Like, I know at some one point fans were like, oh, maybe they should tank and get a pick because they really need talent and they don't have cap space for like a year or two. So,
Everyone, like, I think really, if you're a diehard Miami Heat fan, you probably would want to tank. I mean, realistically, who can, like, I get it. It's nice to have Dwayne Wade and this whole sentiment of letting him get his final send off and all that. But as at least like a diehard fan of like just like my team, like, I would not want to sacrifice my future for 1 year of watching an old man who's going to retire get his. Like, I understand it, but you
and
know.
you're probably getting cooked because you're most likely getting the 8 seed and getting cooked in the first round. So it's not even
Exactly.
like you're getting a 5 or 6 game series. You're probably getting a 4 game. If Miami wins one game against the Bucks, I'll be impressed.
I same page. I was surprised last. I wasn't actually. They won one game last year, and I wasn't surprised. But I think I called it actually on a preview. I said Dwayne Wade can probably win one game on his own.
And Embiid missed the beginning of that series too.
Yeah, broken the orbital,
Yeah.
right.
So, and like Philadelphia, as we know, wasn't tested last year. Milwaukee's a little bit more tested, and they do have some veterans that have made the playoffs. So it's like, all right, I think Milwaukee will be okay this year. I feel like they're probably going to sweep whoever they face in the first round.
I agree. I also feel like they want to sweep somebody in the first round just because they haven't been able to get out of the first round yet with Antetokounmpo and all these guys. They have the one seed. And especially if Antetokounmpo doesn't get MVP. Let's say he doesn't get it and Harden gets it. We won't know till after the playoffs, right?
Yeah, you
That's
won't know
so
for a little bit.
lame.
But
That's lame.
also, I think they want to sweep because of the injuries.
That too. It would
So.
help to get Brogdon more time. It helped to get Pau Gasol more time. Miracic, get these guys fully healthy. I mean, we actually didn't even mention that actually. That may help some probability numbers with those guys being
No,
out.
I don't think so.
I don't either. I don't
I
either.
think like Antetokounmpo alone is enough. Like, long as they have Antetokounmpo, Middleton, Bledsoe and Lopez, they'll be okay. Just that they all provide mismatches in some way or some extent.
Yeah. And that's another guy
So.
too. Eric Bledsoe wants to prove a message, especially after how bad he played last year in the first round. It's
Yeah.
just everybody in the Bucks has like a chip on their shoulder, and I've been a guy personally who enjoys players and teams that have that. I just think it goes far in the NBA.
Chris Middleton, contract year. Brook Lopez, no one wanted to sign him, contract year as well. So there's some money to be made on this Bucks roster. But obviously, we'll be talking more playoffs, possibly another live show on Thursday. Be sure to check that out. And then the first day of the playoffs, we have something special for you. So be sure to check that out when that time comes. As always, a pleasure, Corey. Thank everybody for checking it out.
Peace out, knuckleheads.